Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Peter Slattery. Before I bring him on, just a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes on Rockfin Odyssey and all podcast platforms. Go check us out on Rockfin and get our premium content. You can also get our regular shows and, best of all the awesome content from every creator on Rockfin. Check out all the amazing podcasts that we feature on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You can get them all on our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. Also, follow us on Facebook. Those links are in the description. You can follow us there to get announcements and updates. And check out our merch store and get yourself some shirts and hoodies and all kinds of awesome FKN gear. And finally, guys, go check out C60 Purple Power. This, of course, may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. The benefits are quite amazing. I feel awesome, and you really should too. Click the link in the description. You get 10% off your order, plus free shipping. Go check that out. See what C60 can do for you. Today, I want to welcome back to the show Peter Slattery. He is an international best-selling author, speaker, and educator, assisting with spiritual development, self-discovery, connection to spirit guides, soul family, purpose, balance, and joy to earth, the earthly experience, and God within. His ET experiences started at an early age and continue to this day, with hundreds of witnesses to events. His experiences with extraterrestrials have led him to help people in groups make ET contact themselves, in addition to healing and tapping into their own abilities. Today he operates out of Jaya Sanctuary, which he owns and runs in Victoria, Australia. Peter, welcome back. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on again. Great to connect.
Yes, it's great to have you back on. And like I told you just now, I just watched your new film, Multidimensional, and it was fantastic. I enjoyed so much that this documentary covered the consciousness and spiritual aspects of the phenomenon that many researchers are, for some reason, seem to be terrified of. But it needs to be talked about because it's, I think, one of the hugest aspects of this phenomenon because it connects everything. But it's been a long time since you've been on, Peter, like we were saying, almost, I think, 2 years. I'd love if you could remind the audience how this all started for you.
Yeah, so I am somebody that was having experiences at a young age. It wasn't until sort of in the later years, looking back, did I realize even more so. Basically, sort of a baseline would be the age of 7 is telepathy. That later I found out who that being is through contact, who it was, but I wasn't understanding it at the time. But between the ages of 8 and 12, I was having regular interactions with what people typically refer to as the greys, but they were white. First UFO sighting at the age of 12. And then from then on, it was just high strangeness, paranormal, weird stuff on a regular basis. And then what I would say is, like, to sort of, there's a lot more to it, but to put into like a thumbnail sketch, around 2010 is when things started up again. And then it led to physical interactions and contact, as well as now mainly it's through telepathy, though I film crafts and phenomena on a regular basis. And then I sort of have just every now and then there's, you know, interactions that happen, whether they're teleporting into my presence, manifesting, I'm going to other places, whether through the mind's eye and or physically as well. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, but that's sort of to just, yeah, put it into sort of a short encapsulation.
Great. Now, you said you started out with greys. These were all positive experiences that you had with these greys?
All I can tell you is that they would appear and I wanted them to go sometimes. There was nothing that I can recall that was negative happening. I didn't even think they were aliens. I didn't know what the hell they were. I didn't think they were angels, demonic, spiritual being. I just didn't know what they were at that time. It wasn't on my radar at all. So it just was something that terrified me from the aspect of these things aren't even human. What the hell are they? And yeah, that's where it was at that time. And it was a regular thing.
Now, when did you, what were the next type of entities that you started having contact experience with?
So the next type was, well, we could say they're intelligences now that I know this, but they were blue orbs. So that was the next type that eventually presented themselves as 7 foot tall liquid blue light beings. So that's the type that I'd say was the next. And then after that, it was a Pleiadian entity, female. And from that point, it's a regular thing. Even now, there's different things that rock up and appear that I'm even able to, we could say, pick up on, or they're wanting to interact with me, that some of these are very familiar, what I'd say, old friends and family. That it sounds crazy, but this is where it gets really in-depth, my story, because even with the types of phenomena that I capture on camera and people witness with me, and I've got to say, this isn't just me. There's thousands of photos and videos over an 11-year period, hundreds of witnesses in my own home, let alone thousands of people that no matter what country I've gone to have experienced this phenomena with me.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I was watching earlier how you were describing the blue beings that were projected from the beams, and the communication. You had a communication with these beings as well, a psychic type of communication?
Yeah, regularly. These are probably the main beings that I interface with.
Mm-hmm.
What was referred to me later was that they're the Elohim, that it's not one supreme being, but it's sort of like our God self, our highest expression, our cell of God's body. We're all one of these types of beings, but they come in variations of colors. Some can even project different forms. What I even know is that later on through the material there's a lot of material out there that people can read in the books as well, that the flip side of what we could say of the light, which I call the lower light, is void of light and it's distorted energy. These are the fallen versions of these energies that didn't want to go back. They wanted to stay in an experience, and they created an artificial intelligence to hold a veil that work with other forms of intelligences, which are, we could say, Draco reptilian, archonic, demonic, all variations of different types of intelligences, which I'll say is a small amount of what's out there in the universe. Mm-hmm. But what I say to people is that even the extraterrestrials wouldn't even be 5% of what's out there, and that would be the bottom 5%, even if they're more enlightened and evolved than us. It gets a lot more far out, and I think this is why a lot of the researchers and people don't want to go down this. They want to stick to what they can still not even prove, we could say. It doesn't matter how much photos and videos you got, but I can tell you now, talking to a lot of these main stream people that a lot of people know, they eventually get to this path.
Yes.
But it's through a lot of the time personal experience, something's happened to trigger that.
Yeah, and I remember you were saying, and this really resonated with me, that once a person has an experience like this, first of all, they can't go back, and they're gonna want to seek more into it. But it changes them spiritually, and it makes them grow in many different ways. And I had my first personal contact experience probably a year after we spoke for the first time, and that actually set me on a brand new path. I quit a terrible day job I was doing, I became more spiritual, and I've had other experiences after that and began to seek more knowledge about the phenomenon and about the connection to spirituality and our consciousness and things of that nature. And I understand a lot more about, you know, how everything connects. I'm not saying I know everything, because I don't. I think I know nothing, but I know more than I did before my experience, and I have a better understanding and more of a desire to find out about this stuff and be more spiritual. And I enjoyed how you had similar things and similar experiences, and you know that many people that have these contact experiences also go through the same things, right?
Yeah, I see it as a recurring theme. I've talked to thousands of people over the years now, and it's a common theme that there ends up being just there's something that happens to them in these experiences, and it's usually at the start, and they don't understand that it's even happening at the time. The way I describe it, right, is imagine a pond and you drop a rock into it. That's the experience, and then there's a ripple effect that it takes a long time for those ripples to start to subside, and then it's like another rock's dropped, and it takes you on what we could say another level. And even with myself, my eating habit, my exercise, my practices, who I surround myself with, so many things on every level change for me, and they're still continuing to change for me. And this is where, like talking to Mary Rodwell, who's in the documentary, a very well-known hypnotherapist and counselor, she said to me before, this is the proof in the pudding. Like when you're talking to friends and family of these experiences, and they tell you this, not the experiencer, but the family go, it's like black and white, night and day, the difference in who my son or my partner or whoever it is, the change that occurs in them, that is, it's life-changing. It literally is, and that's proof in the pudding there that this isn't something that we could say is non-physical or just psychological. These are real experiences that are happening in ways that most people can't perceive. That not only is there the physical aspect, but what I can tell you is even with my physical and non-physical interactions, I'm getting visions in the mind's eye while I'm looking at them with my human eyes if it's a physical interaction. I'm getting all thought knowledge transfer equivalent to what they're showing me with that, and I'm getting the feelings and emotions all in sync with it at the same time. And so this is where it's beyond the nuts and bolts and what people think beings landing a craft are. That's happened with me. I've gone on board to other places, but they can literally even land a craft on you while you're in bed, vibrate your consciousness on board, or you could see them in your mind's eye. And talking to Native American elders and Aboriginal elders, they talk about the same thing. So this is the thing, even for the experiencer, they start to go, geez, this isn't what I thought it was. And the experiences are sort of opening them up to the multidimensional aspect, which is why the movie is called Multidimensional, because this is where it lies. But we're here for the Earth human experience. These beings are not to be looked up to. They're to be seen as our greater family. That's the bottom line. Everyone thinks they can solve our problems. They can fix everything. The thing is, we don't realize how powerful and amazing we are ourselves. And we're the ones that have got to rise to the occasion with that as well.
Yeah, that's very well said. Would you say that even to initiate contact from these entities, it is based on the state of that individual's consciousness at the time? I know for me that was the truth. You know, I was actually seeking an experience. I was seeking more of a spiritual knowledge, and I was seeking sort of a contact experience, and I made my contact through meditation. And my contacts and my guides that I actually made contact with told me that I was ready to do this at that time and receive the messages that they were going to give. Do you think it's like that for most people that have contact experiences?
It's twofold. This is where what I'll say to you is, and it is a yes, but I've got to go and some. And what the and some is what I'm about to explain. And I wish somebody told me this a long time ago, what I'm about to tell you and the viewers. To understand where we're going, and again, I wouldn't even understand 1% out of a trillion percent of what's going on. I know a lot more, like yourself, than what I did, but mm-hmm. I still don't know much, but it's more, we could say, than the average person to do with this topic. To understand where we're going to be, what we're talking about, you've got to drop the linear aspect of how we look at things. Black, white, yes, no, this option, that option. The gray area in the middle is where most of the answers lie, and it's going to be different all the time. It's not just going to be one set thing. In an aspect, yes, meditation and seeking and intention is what will connect you. And this is where I say to people, be very careful what your intention and what you're wanting to experience, because it will happen no matter what.
Yeah.
You've got the other flip side of people like myself that I know that I know contracts and things before I incarnated now. But what I can tell you is it wasn't on my radar. And this is the flip side that I was talking about, is there's some people that spirituality, UFOs, consciousness, it's not on their radar. They don't give a crap. Some people that they will not have an experience. Others, there is almost like a soul mandate that you're going to be just living a normal human life, and there's going to be something happen at this time, and it's like an agreement. And then all of a sudden they see a UFO, they have experiences, and it's life altering. And it's like, that's the journey, how it's meant to happen for them. So it's, we could say for some people they don't go looking for it, others they do, and it's really an intention thing. And that's what I teach people now with the sanctuary I've got here as well, whether through self-mastery practices to do with yoga, different forms of meditation and breath work. There's these components that open people up consciously to understand becoming more intuitive, becoming more sensitive with energies, becoming more, we could say, being mindful of their thoughts. And this is how a lot of the communication is done, is through thought. So I believe everyone's an experiencer, even people watching this. But because beings aren't materializing or landing a craft and getting out, they're not realizing that they're in communication. There's thoughts, ideas, epiphanies, concepts, and knowingness that comes through for them. That's a form of communication. But again, because it's not on their radar, or they think it's something different, they're not understanding that some of their thoughts are communication. And it's not to say they don't have their own thoughts, ideas, and epiphanies, but it's also how they work with us, is through our own thought process.
Right. Now, along those same lines, you're able to kind of intuitively know when ships will be appearing in the sky. Even you've had experiences where you were able to kind of make contact, psychic contact with these ships, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you talk about, you know, what is that process like and how do you, you know, what does it feel like when you intuitively know that there are ships around and what happens?
You literally just know. It is so mundane. This is like how I was saying just then with people having contact on a regular basis. It is so mundane that it's like, it's so wired into our consciousness when it happens that it's happening and we don't realize it. Like we're breathing. We're breathing on a regular basis. We don't try to control it. It just, the body does it. So it didn't really come into fruition understanding it until a few experiences with Shiji and other beings, which is the Pleiadian. It was like, sometimes I'd be called out. There sometimes was like an acoustic type voice in my consciousness, audible. And sometimes it was just a thought. But they got to a point where I knew that they were there and I'd just walk out. And every time, every time I went outside, there was a craft or an orb object. Something was above the place, around my place, doing something. And this was witnessed. And it got to the point where I understood from the communication, it's like, that's us. We've really dropped down to try and communicate with you. You've got to step it up now. And it's like this, it's just a thought. It's nothing magnificent. It's not like they've got a megaphone and they're going, Pete, come outside. It's literally, it's like, you know, it's like, how do I describe it? It's just, it's a knowingness and an awareness. It's like, you know, somebody's about like who's on the phone when they call you, like you haven't even looked at it. You just know. Sometimes you're going to be wrong. But in this case, when it's this type of contact, you've just got a knowingness is the only way I can describe it.
Now, you've seen all kinds of ships. I saw all kinds of amazing footage that you showed in multidimensional of different light ships, ships that could morph into different shapes and separate and become two ships and, you know, solid ships, cigar shapes, all kinds of stuff. And some looked, you know, like physical metallic craft. Some did not. Some looked quite non-physical. Some were able to morph into some fantastic shapes. What do you think is the difference between some of these ships? I mean, are some of them physical at all?
Some of them are. Some of them are, but they're not operating or made the way that we would make stuff, though I believe in some of what we could say, the covert programs, USAP programs, unacknowledged special access programs, some of the stuff, whether it's reverse engineered or they've been working on it or from archaeological digs, all these sorts of things. What the difference is the level of consciousness that is behind what it is. Some of these beings are not in a craft. They are in their light body. And so you've got an aspect here where those types of entities could appear as what they want, but mostly they'll appear as a light. And when you slow it down in one of them, you can see that we hear about the famous Merkaba that everyone talks about, our light body. And you can actually see this sort of spinning triangular formation, two of them opposing each other doing this.
Yeah.
So some of them are just, and it can sometimes just appear as an orb with light, but that's what it is as well. Yeah. Some of them will just be light. We've got also, you know, cigar craft, triangle craft, all different things across the spectrum. What you'll find with the more physical ones is they will be usually a being or a race that is similar to us that I've found so far. Some of them, yes, can be grazed, but, you know, two arms, two legs, a head, what have you. And they're operating, what we could say, is at a high level of consciousness. So they've got a higher access to physics. And the type of materials they're using for the crafts are able to, basically what's happening is the craft is given a consciousness, even if it's an artificial intelligence. The higher up the chain you go where they're organically grown, they've got a consciousness in and of themselves, but then other ones have got an AI that's given sort of a consciousness given to them. But what you find across the board is that when they're lower civilizations, but higher than us with these organic and these metal material type crafts, which I'll say not are only metal, it's a mixture from my experience and knowledge, knowing this firsthand, of metal and crystals. So what's happening is the crafts have a symbiotic relationship with the pilots and all the occupants as well. Now, what I can tell you is in some cases, what they're doing is they get to a certain frequency to where they become light, and then they become, I haven't spoken about this before because I wanted to see where some people would go talking to me. So this is something new here, but they'll go into a vibrational state. So what I can tell you, something that, again, I wish somebody told me long time ago to understand this, but it was through the contacts that they said, when you're ready, you'll understand it, is that everything is consciousness, which goes into a vibratorial state, which is sound. Sound creates light. Light creates physical matter. We even see recently somebody sent me an article in the recent year or so at the Hadron Collider where they're smashing photons to get the light and they're creating physical matter. So if you backtrack it, what's happening is some people go, oh, it just turned into light and went. No, it went from light into a vibratorial state where it's phasing out. It becomes one with the unified field at times, depending on the level of consciousness. And through consciousness and intention, they navigate where they will pop out. So they're not going, this is again, they're not going linear. They're here, dematerialized, bang, wherever they got to go, majority of the time. And these light beings, some of them will do it through the electron. They'll break down to a single electron. All electrons have a symbiotic relationship in the universe. They connect with where they want to go. They rematerialize there and use the building blocks there. And they just literally teleport through consciousness. They don't even have a craft. So this is where it's very layered, what we're talking about. It's not just this way or that way. It's very layered.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I want to talk a little bit about the types of beings to, you know, as much as you can to your knowledge. What types of beings are we dealing with? I know in the film, you even said that they're us from the future, but there are many different types of beings. You know, us from the future may be one of the many, many types of entities that we've been interacting with and seeing and having contact experiences from. But which ones are you familiar with that do have an interest in the human race?
A majority of them do. But what has, see, what I found in time was that we've got like a base genetics connected back to the Lyrians. Now, the Lyrians also have genetic stock in certain Sirian, Arcturian, Andromeda constellation, Pleiadian, and sort of our neck of the woods. There's like a Lyrian connection somewhat as being ancestors. They look like us. They were a lot bigger, way bigger. And what we can say is due to going out within this neck of the Milky Way galaxy, this sector, due to environments, you know, environmental factors, where they were, where they developed, and they lived in certain planets and inside planets and certain things, they developed differently. Now, what you have is a scenario where some of the beings that are coming here are our ancestors. Beings like the Pleiadians, for example, as mind-altering as this is going to be, are coming from the Pleiades and Orion in the future, 20 to 40,000 years in the future, around that give or take. Even that's the ones that I know of that I'm interacting with. And they look like us, that we could say they're more advanced in some aspects that, yeah, it's us down the line. But this is where it gets convoluted, is that certain Pleiadians came back from the future and created Atlantis and Lemuria. And we're an offshoot of that here now. This is where, again, you're not going to understand this in a linear way. You've got to look at things all possibility to understand where this is going, because it's still unfolding for me to understand this myself.
Now, the aspect of the Palladians coming and creating, or, you know, seeding Atlantis and Lemuria, would it be in any way similar to the Anunnaki mythos creation story of, you know, them tinkering with hominid DNA and mixing it with their own and creating an offshoot of the humanoid species that they are?
You're getting it, and I'll explain it, right? So I want people to really listen to what I'm going to say, and I don't want you to believe me. I want you to go and do some research, because you'll be able to find some things that I'm talking about here, right? Mm. Now, the story that I was told was that the Lyrians had a lot of outposts throughout our solar system. Mm-hmm. And there was some wars and things that happened with Maldek, Malone, and now the asteroid built. You've got that scenario situation. At that time, after this time, around 500,000 years ago, the reptilians were given short custodianship. They screwed up, and what happened was the Pleiadians came in, and that was for the inception of Atlantis and Lemuria. Now, what I can tell you is that I took certain people here, like James Gilliland, John Vabanko, the Edge of Wonder Boys, Jordan Sather, others. I've taken a few people to what we call the Gosford Glyphs here in Australia. Now, what it says on stone, and I'll explain the glyphs in a moment, is that the Pleiadians came here. This is in stone from a rock that was brought 100 kilometres away that they can't explain. Massive wall. It's part of an ancient, we could say, temple or structure. One wall's got Egyptian glyphs on it. There's a couple of fake ones at the end that were put there to mislead people years later. But some of it's been authenticated by the Egyptian authorities. I even held the kneecap of a pharaoh that was there. Now, the story goes that for a long time, the Egyptians were coming to Australia getting some of their mystery school teachings from the original people, the Aboriginals. It's all going to tie in a minute. They came and they tried to steal, a particular two pharaohs, two brothers came in to steal the knowledge, and the Aboriginals said to them, the original people, you can take it, but spirit won't let you get away with it. One got bitten by a snake and died there. That's the kneecap that I held of that one. The other one got shipwrecked. Now, that story's on one of the walls there. Now, on the other wall, the Pleiadian wall, it talks about the Pleiadians coming here, manipulating the Denisovian, the DNA, and creating the Australian Aboriginal to incarnate in for the Earth human experience. Now, let's take this to another level.
Yeah.
In research and scientists that I spoke to that specialise in this, I think they've got Irish background, but they're Australian. What they did was not my ancestry DNA test. Forget that. Go and get a proper one that's going to go right down into the details. They surmise that everyone on the planet has Aboriginal, Australian Aboriginal DNA, even if it's very minute. They found it in theirs. No bloodline connection. It was there. Not only that, they showed me evidence in America, in Japan and other countries, photos and material stating that the Australian Aboriginal was in these countries before the natives there, the Native Americans, the Japanese that were there. They were there before them. There was even one photo I saw, I think it was in Japan, of the last Aboriginal, and it was a black and white photo from years ago, and he wouldn't mate with anyone else because they weren't part of his tribe, and he died out, and he was there before them. So what you've got is a continuation of from that time of us basically carrying on a project, but there's a base connection there. So this is where, go and do your research, but this is material that I knew, not the science of it. I talked to the King of the Raven Tribe, Ulukai Brendan Murray here, and James, and then it led us to other researchers. And this is where I started to talk to the scientists involved. There's people with ForgottenOrigin.com, Stephen and Evan Strong. They do a lot of work on this. They know a lot more than what I do because this is what they specialize in. ForgottenOrigin.com, I think it's called, their website. And this is only just not even touching the sides of what these guys go into with their material, but it tied in with what I had through the contacts. And it's written in stone. So that's where it's a bit of food for thought what I just said to you.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. I want to talk about, as far as you know, what could be the interest in the human race from, you know, these various different, we'll start with, you know, benevolent races that may have a loving interest in humans.
Well, a number of things, living to our full potential. And from what I know is that we're a conglomerate of many different races. We're like a super being, pardon me, in the 3D realm. We've got no idea. We are not tapped into our full capability with brain power, everything that we can truly do. So part of it is, like, they've even shown me what we can do, a lot of them can't do consciously while in an incarnation. We are able to do things that even the angelics can do in the human body. Very amazing type things that a lot of these races cannot do. So there is that component, but the bottom line is a lot of them are like our big brothers and sisters. They're just looking at us going, wake up, see your full capability. It's like, we could do it for you, but you need to do it yourself to earn your own place going out into the cosmos. And it's like a number of reasons we have to do it that way. so we don't get screwed over, so we don't get taken advantage of, but it's doing it from a place of love and we could say authenticity and stepping into our own power rather than sort of what we could say getting lagged behind and sort of just slowly put through the process. We have to do it ourselves. So it does offshoot into things like the environment, how we treat each other, many different things that have been through the contacts over the years with me that they want us to wake up to what we're doing to the planet and the environment and things like that. But the bottom line is that we're connected genetically to many of these races, not just one. And finding, you know, it's like what's happening here is affecting other planes of existences with the energy here and what's going on, that it's like, come on, wake up, guys. You guys have got no idea what you're capable of, and it's beautiful. And it's not all love and light, but that's what predominantly most of the beings out there are at. Some of them are neutral.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. You said some of them are neutral. Are there any, you know, malevolent entities that might not have the best interest of the human race that try to make contact or try to maybe deceive humans in any way?
Yes, many, many. But what I would say is it wouldn't even be 5% of what's out there that would have a negative or a tricksterish type agenda. That's what I'll. So it's not heaps, but it affects. It's like you can have one rotten egg and it can affect some things, you know, happen like one bad person. It's like you got a bad police officer and then everyone looks at police officers bad, but that's not the case. You know what I mean? So
we tend
to look at that. But there is. So the fallen Elohim that I mentioned about, their makeup changed to what we could say is void of light energies, dark type energies. So they're at a distorted form of consciousness. And what I can tell you is that they created an artificial intelligence that is sort of going fractal throughout certain parts of the universe. Not everywhere, but it does it. And what it does is puts out a frequency. So it's putting up a veil so these beings can be not seen, but at the same time, why it was created was to harvest energy, which feeds the AI, but it also feeds the fallen Elohim to stay in existence. So basically, through manipulation, through control, through negative energy, these beings continue. And I'll give you an example what Mary Rodwell said one day to me when I spoke to her about this. She said, Pete, if you've got a weed that's a parasitic weed and it's got to live off the trunk of a tree, is it bad? It's all it knows how to do. To it, that's how it's got to survive. Now, I don't condone what we hear about with the cabal and all these things where there is manipulation through certain individuals and elite families where it goes on and on. We could go into that. I want to talk about what I know. But what I can tell you is, there is a flip side to the dark. I don't condone any of the darkness, but what it does is raises our consciousness and sees an example of how we don't want to feel, how we don't want to act, to raise our consciousness above them. And when you do that, you can't be affected by the negative. But what's happening was, this is what I was going to get to earlier, was when the reptilians had custodianship, and they've done this throughout many parts in the galaxy and other galaxies, they're like what I would say foot soldiers. And what I mean by foot soldiers, imagine if you wanted to rob a bank, but what you were going to do is you're going to get somebody else to do it so you weren't caught. The person that doesn't want to get caught is the Archon, Draconian, the head of it, the way I describe it, is either fallen Elohim or the Archons, however you want to describe it. So what they do is they send their foot soldiers out, meaning the reptilians. They're the ones that get acknowledged. They're the ones that get noticed, but there's a darker force behind them that's pulling the strings. So what happened a long time ago, and I've spoken to scientists and doctors about this. We have the R part of the brain, which is near the pineal gland, right? It stands for reptilian brain. It's where we're triggered, fight or flight. But as I said to them, we had fight or flight before the R part of the brain. And they go, well, I guess we did. That's how we still exist, right? So what it's done is probably amplified the fight or flight, but what it is and what I was told through my contacts is that it's a biological implant that harvests this energy and siphons it and goes to the AI and to these entities. So every time you're triggered, you get pissed off, something's going on, you get negative emotions, you're actually using that device and it's feeding these energies. And that's why they lost custodianship and were given a fair go for a time, as we say in Australia, but then it was stopped because they did that. And they've done it to many civilizations, but it's a catch-22.
Right.
It's actually probably helped us spiritually evolve more by being the observer of those thoughts and master things even more. It's like a hurdle, but it's like you rise above that hurdle. It's done more good than it has bad.
Right. Now, along the same lines of what could maybe considered like a deception to the public, we have what's been coming out of our mainstream media. We've been even government, declassified papers. Ever since 2017, of course, like when the big New York Times article came out with the Tic Tac and all this other stuff, we've had a lot of mainstream information, but nothing really that pushes to the levels that, a lot of, like yourself and a lot of other researchers are looking into the consciousness aspects of it, which I doubt they'll ever get to. But there also seems a lot of misdirection and misinformation coming out of here. I was wondering what your thoughts on this whole kind of disclosure that's coming out of our mainstream right now.
It's basically a regurgitation of what's happened since 2001 with the press club conference then. Yeah, there might be more videos that have been released, but I can tell you now from somebody that films it, why is somebody in the middle of Australia, or not in the middle, but in the middle of nowhere in Australia, got clearer and better footage than anything you've seen?
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I can tell you, I know some of these people that are involved with this. Oh. I know there's clearer footage, but they're not showing it.
Right.
And on top of that, some of this is not extraterrestrial. About 90% of it isn't. It's ours, and it's got strobe lights on it. So it might be triangular, it might be a weird shape object, but it's not extraterrestrial. And so they are controlling the narrative. And I can tell you that from being inside some of this in the TV programs where stuff's happened and they filmed it and they wouldn't put it on television. And it's like, we need to keep the viewers wondering. It's like you've been keeping them wondering since this was all created, meaning the media.
Yeah.
So that's where I can tell you, I don't care who in the government, I've spoken to some of these people in the governments, whether it's the UK, whether it's the US, that are behind this. And it's not there, we could say, they believe what they're doing. They believe what they're being told and presented. But I can tell you, without a doubt, that a majority of it is not extraterrestrial. And it's even by how these objects are acting that you can tell, yeah, it might be anti-grav propulsion, but it's not doing the crazy exotic stuff that I see. Because either one, it's not capable of it yet with the technology, or two, it could be an alien reproduction vehicle, or they've modified an actual alien vehicle that they've been able to get hold of, but they still don't know how to do some of these crazy exotic things that they do.
That's what I was just about to ask, if you think that they're reverse engineering, or even if they're working with some of the maybe negative extraterrestrials to help reverse these craft. I don't know. What do you think?
I know they're doing both, but there's some positive ones in some places involved with this too. But what I can tell you is the only one that I can without a doubt say that is pretty much probably extraterrestrial is maybe the Tic Tac one. The way it's described, like the ping pong and a ball, the effects, the way it's going from a couple of feet above the ocean up to 60 whatever thousand feet like that. That's the type of stuff within a blink of an eye. So that's the type of stuff that when I hear stories like that, it's like even us have capabilities of doing stuff like that with what we've got. But the other stuff is like low-level stuff that when you talk to some of the people they present themselves to and they can show me their bona fides that they have been in certain things and that maybe there's something to what they're claiming of being a whistleblower, that they all think they're in the blackest group, meaning the darkest, unacknowledged special access program. But there's so many compartments within it that it's, it's stupid for somebody to say that to me because you just don't know. I know there's projects going off world. They're not even acknowledging it or knowing of it. So there's always a whole banter here. But the bottom line is, if you had a bird land on your front yard or your front lawn, do you need to ring up the police or the government and go, can you come to my house and just tell me, is this a bird on my front lawn?
Right.
That's where this logic is at, right? This is where the logic is at. Now, again, don't believe everything. I don't want you to even believe me. I want you to be discerning. But there is a situation here where it's beyond extraterrestrials. And when I've spoken to some of these people, because they've come to me, not Ivan initiated, but what I can tell you is, even in my opinion, I think those in the more mainstream part of these governments around the world, whether it's US, Australia, what have you, the tricky part is yeah, ETs exist. The Vatican was talking about it years ago, even with the Muslims, with the Quran. Allah is the God of many worlds, you know, things like this. So it's out there, even with the Vedics and the Indians, like there's all cultures have got something going back to the stars. The tricky component, I think, for them is, because they don't understand it themselves, is that some of these beings are time travelers and some of these beings are from completely different realms that they've got no reference for, and some of these beings are living right beside us. And that is where it gets laid for them, that maybe, and I'm not going to say who isn't it evolved enough to understand what I'm saying, but maybe, as I said to them, I think that's where some of the stuff lies, that the people aren't ready for that stuff and you guys aren't ready to it because you guys can't comprehend it yet. And that's what we see with Project Blue Book. There was the Cometa report, Grudge sign, all these different reports. Even though some of them were just foolish to debunk things, even with Project Blue Book, what we had was a scenario of, I think, 700 plus cases that were unexplainable out as 10,000. And they never said basically a conclusion coming up that they don't exist, just that they weren't a threat to national security. So if you want to talk about disclosure, in some ways we could say it's been done, but if you're controlling the narrative with the media, you're going to give the people what you want to give them to control that narrative. And so if that's their only source of information, you know, it may never happen, or for a long time it won't happen. But if you're got a broader consciousness, and if you already had contact, you've already got disclosure. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it sure is. I think, you know, this is such a personal experience for each individual that experiences, you know, you get very rarely, except for, you know, experiences like yours where you can, you know, pretty much sense where there's going to be a craft. For most people, they're going to be sleeping, or they're going to have this their own personal kind of experience with these entities that it may be very similar to others, or it could be completely different, but it's their own experience. And I think it's just as real as any other one else's experiences.
It is.
I want to get back for a second to multidimensional and Mary Rodwell, who I love Mary. I've had her on a couple of times, and you've had some regression sessions with her. What was some of the most kind of profound information that came out of those?
Nothing. And it wasn't because of Mary. If you'll find them online. A few minutes into it, it's not me talking. The body's convulsing for like 5 minutes, and then it pops up and it's something else talking. Even the eye shapes, everything goes weird. I can't even watch half of it. But the bottom line is that they were saying is that Pete knows. Everything that we're asking, Pete already knows. He's stubborn. Pete knows over and over. It was only because to me, the first time I ever had missing time in broad daylight with somebody that was with me, that I was frustrated that Mary offered to do that. And later on, I had another two regressions that Mary wasn't involved with. It was somebody else, to where they were turning the cameras on and off and the lights on and off in the room. And it was just getting crazy. But I wasn't getting anything new. I would pop out of body and I could see another intelligence go in my body while I'm in an astral form, and other intelligences working with the being in me, which were different races, giving the go-ahead to answer certain things. But it wasn't anything I didn't know. It was just... Even with the stuff that we're talking about, I'm still so skeptical. There's stuff that I will not present because, to me, it just looks like it can be debunked straight away. But everyone's like, this is the best stuff. And I'm like, I need stronger evidence. That's why I was very particular with what went in multidimensional. But even with them, it's like we have a component where, as humans, we sort of need to be open-minded, but we're very installed, whether it's through epigenetics, upbringing, social engineering, that if we can't see, touch, taste, smell something, or we get external validation, we tend to doubt. And I've had to drop that over the years, but still be very discerning. You've got to be. But it wasn't much from it, except we could say a little bit of light on that incident, what happened. But when we go deep and far out, it's like Pete knows over and over. That's what they were trying to tell me. And that's where Mary's been a guiding light for me. She's like, Pete, you already know everything. Like, you know it. You just either, one, you're not realizing it. It doesn't mean I know everything, but everything that I needed to know up to each point, I think you've got it, but you sort of just, again, you sort of doubt it. And that's where, all along with her, it was like everything you need to know is within you. And she never led on with anything. But she would sort of point things out in a different perspective to how I was answering my own questions. And that's where I could say this led. So Mary's been And Mary's great at what she does. Don't get, I've seen it. I've been in other regressions with, like, watch people and see what Mary does. With me, I was a different case in terms of I still don't want to watch them really, because it's, you know, when you see yourself on a camera doing that, you're like, one, this is crazy. And then you get a lot of crap for it as well and see the after effect. And you're like, no wonder people think this is full of crap. I'm looking at it going, what the hell's going on with me? Mm-hmm. So that's where what we're talking about isn't a normal regression. And I jumped out and another consciousness jumped into my body, and it's, you're looking at Pete, but what's in Pete is not the same person.
Yeah, and another aspect that kind of throws people off of this subject is that a lot of contact happens, like I said a few minutes ago, in people's dream states or, you know, unconscious states, and there's no physical evidence for any of this other than the information that comes back with this person's personal experience, right?
Yeah, well, sometimes there can be objects appear, marks on the body. Sometimes there might be certain prophecies or information that end up happening.
Yes.
We could say maybe nothing super tangible, but then everyone's evidence of what's tangible and what's not is going to be different as well. But this is where, like talking to Native American elders and their Aboriginal elders, like I've said before, when I talked about the crafts landing on you and able to either interface with your mind's eye to where you think it's a dream, but the body's vibrating and the crafts landed on you like a ghost in bed. And I've had groups of people say this. The temperature changes, there's a vibration going through. Some of these people think, oh, I'm going to another star system, I'm going into space. In these types of examples, they're just interfacing with your pineal gland from your light body. That comes online like a real experience, like this is a real experience, but you haven't even gone anywhere. You're overlapping the same space, but you're tuning into a different time, we could say, or a different frequency to where this reality drops off and then that's your reality. So this is where this is, they want to keep it nuts and bolts, and that's fine for people who want to do it because that's where they're at, but this is where it leads. And like I said, I've spoken to so many researchers behind the scenes that eventually this is where it's led them. But they won't talk about it publicly because they don't want to lose credibility. But what I say now is we're at a point where you trying to keep your credibility still isn't progressing the field forward because you're playing it safe. There's got to come a point, like you've got to say, stuff it. I'm in this community because this is what happened to me. And some of these people have got very good credentials that it brings validity to the subjects, like Dr. Eben Alexander, who was a brain surgeon, I think, or a doctor, had meningitis, died. He was actually one of the proponents of debunking past life experiences and yet had his own and came back to the body, and now he writes about and talks about it all around the world. We see this replete throughout this field of whether it's science and spirituality and consciousness or the paranormal. There's a lot of people with very good credentials that they're not insane.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you were just talking about how a craft can basically land not only on top of a person, but like basically on top of a house or in someone's house. And since this craft is in a interdimensional state, it's, you know, it's not really physical, and they can interact with your own consciousness and even take your consciousness into the craft with them. And I believe in my personal experience, this actually occurred with me. I believe some sort of etheric craft entered my house, and they were able to take me onto it with my consciousness, because I was able to observe things inside the craft after that occurred, and it was very fascinating. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the experiences you've had with, you know, crafts landing on top of areas or houses?
Yeah, well, one that we go into the documentary and is sort of lightly covered, but John Vivanco, who's worked for the FBI in think tank for remote viewing, psychic spy, for NASA, other people. I'll give you one example where the video of the gray in the house where you can see it blinking. When that was remote viewed, what they told me was, because I saw something going on. I was walking from the lounge room to the kitchen and I could see something darting out the corner of my eye in the entrance of the hallway area. But every time I've seen that in my whole life, I've never, you walk in there, nothing's there, but I got an infrared camera out, sat it on the dining room table, stood behind it at that time. Now, I didn't notice anything else going on except that. The data showed that there was a craft in, we could say, apparition form, that was half crash landed in the house and half outside the house, five of these bangs got out, and basically there was a few looking at me while the rest of them were down at the fridge interested in the cheese and the milk.
Wow.
That's the and they all got the same data. They all got the same data. So this is where you try and tell somebody that, they're going to go, this is just psychotic. But this is why most people have just not talked about it, because of ridicule. So we've got a component where these beings, some of them can become fully materialized, but I think it's a frequency match thing. And from what I know, that becoming too physical here sometimes is not a good feeling for them as well. So it's like they come in as much as they can for us to rise to the occasion to meet them halfway. But there's been many different types of experiences where I'll feel them coming onto the, like I'm in bed, you could feel that, you can hear the hum before it even hits the house, it gets loud, and then it goes through you. And sometimes I'll just close, like my eyes are closed, and I just see the beings coming online. It's almost like they're standing over me, or they're really close like this, and they sort of move back. And like I say, I'll get even visions on top of that with thoughts, feelings, what have you. Sometimes they can even physically take your body as well. And what they'll do is they'll take it to a few realms up, or the next realm, and then they'll actually separate the physical body from the consciousness, and the consciousness goes into what I call light realms. Or they're like kaleidoscopes, geometry, fractal, all types of intelligence is in it, but the physical body can't do it. But sometimes they're doing stuff with the body to where they'll start to merge the two back, and then they'll bring you back into this physical form or this physical realm. So this is where people are going to go, this guy's just off his head, or people are going to be watching and going, I get it. That explains what happened to me now. But because people don't talk about it, because I'm at the point I don't care anymore, I've been talking about this for 11 years, people can give me, they can't give me more crap than what I've already got, but it's going to make sense to those who see and those who don't want. And it's not that they're bad people or they're not light and evolved. It's just that's where some people are at. I wish I knew this way earlier on, because it would have made so much more sense, all the earlier stuff.
Right.
Because now I look back and I go, I get that. I'm still connecting dots on a daily basis going, oh, that makes sense now. So, yeah.
Do you see humanity as a whole going through some sort of awakening process right now? I know that myself and a lot of people I know have not only had strange experiences and are becoming more open-minded and seeing through a lot of the things that they've been deceived about from, you know, their own government and just things they've been lied about through their whole lives, but not only that, becoming more spiritual and open to experiences. And I see a lot more people kind of becoming open to this every day. Is this something you're noticing as well?
Yeah. And what I'll say to you is, it's only one conspiracy theory that ends up turning into a conspiracy fact for them that goes, oh, all right, I've been had.
Yeah.
We've all been had. It just takes one event that, if it's not a paranormal experience, it's something else that goes, all right, things aren't what they seem. And what I can tell you personally is that especially in the last couple of years with what's going on today, the amount of people that have said to me, if I spoke to you 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have told you that you're nuts. But something's going on, and this is what happened to me, whether it was an experience or they're seeing through certain lies and what have you. And what I say is, a lot of people in the government are good people. They actually believe what they're told, what they're doing, because there's always something behind it. They don't know the full story, so they're just doing their job. But eventually things get revealed and they see that things are different from what they thought. And like I say, it only takes one event. And I am seeing it. People were saying about 2012, other years, you know, this is happening, that happening. If I can ever say that I'm seeing an awakening in the human race, I'm seeing it now.
Yeah.
But the bottom line I say to people is don't get carried away. This is the bottom line. As long as you're a good person and would give the shirt off your back to help a fellow human, you're doing your part. You don't need to know all this stuff that we're talking about or everything else. If they want it, that's fine. But what I'm saying is that if some people, they try to talk to their family or their partner about this and it's just like doesn't work out, well, it's like, look, are they a good person at the end of the day? Do they love you? Would they help any human? They're like, yeah. And it's like, they're just not there. Maybe they won't be there, but maybe they need to hear it on the news. I don't know, but we just need to be good people. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, very well said, and I agree 100%. Now, for the last few minutes we have, tell us about what brought about making of Multidimensional.
Well, there was a few opportunities in the past to do something, but what I had happened, I made James Gilliland's Contact Has Begun Too, which is free on YouTube. But the original one, the original one got like 20 something million hits in 5 days on Netflix when it first came out years ago. James asked me to make the second one. I've made a few documentaries here and there before. And in a week, I think I had John, James, and Jason Gleaves, who are also all in the film. Jason Gleaves has done an amazing job with the image analysis. He's ex-UK Air Force and Aerospace for me as well. They all just said to me, it was just out of the blue, you should make your own film. They all said it to me in 1 week in different conversations. So I just thought, it'd be a bit weird, but why not? I've got so much material and I wanted to make it something that anyone can watch, even if they're not into this topic. There may be a couple more that I'm going to do that will be a lot more in-depth. I couldn't even put 5% of the material in it. There's so much material.
Right.
So that's sort of how it came about, was just, you know, those guys said to me, you should do something yourself. You've done so much for everyone else. Why don't you do something to showcase your stuff? And I'm just like, all right, we'll see how it goes. And that's the product that's out now is what it ended up being. So it got picked up by 1091 Pictures. And yeah, I'm just grateful for the opportunity and for the feedback, whether it's good or bad. Yeah, it just lets me know where I'm at with even making films, because I don't even consider myself a filmmaker.
Now, is this available right now already?
So it's, from what I know, depends on the country where, because some countries take longer to roll things out. For example, with Amazon, I think it's in Amazon. I know it's in the American one and the UK one, and I think Canada, but it's taking a bit of time to get to the Australian one. But it's on Amazon, Google Play, iTunes and Apple TV, Roku, you could get it through on that. Microsoft, Vudu was another one, I think. So there's quite a few different formats that people, like streaming services, people can access it on.
Great. Well, Peter, the Multidimension was fantastic. And thank you so much for coming on to talk about it with us today. I highly recommend everyone go and check that out, because it opens up so many doors that we need to be exploring right now about the consciousness connections to this phenomenon. So thank you so much. That was fantastic.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, mate.
Of course. And I'd love to have you back on in the future.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right. Well, have an excellent evening. And until next time, we will talk again tomorrow, everyone.